Welcome back to Seen It Before, where we're probably going to say something stupid about your favorite movie because we've seen it all before. I'm Danny.
I'm Dan. We only got two cameras today, so we are roughing it. And just like our movie, we're roughing it because Mad Max, Fury Road, get it?
Yeah.
Roughing it in the apocalypse.
That was a joke.
I was trying to get there. It works. It's fine. It's completely on brand. Anyway, so yeah, Mad Max Fury Road, the sequel, I guess, to this, or prequel sequel?
I don't even know.
Like, this was a requel itself, Fury Road. It wasn't really like, it's kind of a sequel, but it's...
Yeah, well, it's like, it's implied that he has history in Fury Road, but it's not necessarily the history that you saw in the other movies.
Yeah, it's so weird. It's still the apocalypse. But yeah, Furiosa Mad Max Saga comes out next month, and we will be doing that one as well. You know what? No, I will say the lore for this this
lore. Lore.
I love the lore. Lorax. It's a good movie. You ever seen it?
No.
We gotta let grow. Yep. Let it grow, it grow.
Uh-huh.
Something, let it grow. I can't breathe because they're selling air. That's the whole thing. They chopped down all the trees because now there's no more air in the atmosphere. So a greedy guy comes in and says like, I manufacture air for you to breathe.
Sounds a little bit like Mad Max. I'm not going to lie.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
That's hilarious.
Oh, my God. He's in Morton Joe.
Oh, my God.
Just with his shitty bowl cut. bowl haircut.
All right. Well, didn't think we were going to reference the Lorax and Mad Max in the same sentence today, but let's get to it. All right, so the Mad Max Fury Road, the fourth movie in the Mad Max saga.
Yeah.
One, which is just regular Mad Max. The second one was, what was the name of it?
I think.
The Warrior? Road Warrior?
Yeah, Road Warrior.
Yeah, and then Thunderdome was the third one.
Beyond
Thunderdome, whatever. Okay. No one talks about that one.
Yeah, well, it's got Tina Turner. I haven't seen it, but it's got Tina Turner. It's a bunch of wild kids are fighting it's a gladiator battle thing. So it's a little interesting. Like it sounds like it's got some potential, but I don't know. Apparently people don't like it.
Huh. Okay, so we were saying in the intro, this is a requel of the Mad Max saga, kind of like Scream did, but it also... I don't know. It's the same, but it's the same character. It's not like it's new characters that are presenting themselves as the old characters. It's very strange, but it worked really well because, you know, George Miller is a fucking action icon and practically action icon. It's like he shoots it all on location. This movie was, I think, originally supposed to come out in 2000. He was supposed to start working on it.
Yep.
Then 9/11 happened and it shut down like everything.
Yeah.
And then 2008, he was going to do it again. And then, well.
Mel Gibson had
that, and then probably the beginning stages of the recession didn't really help either. Yeah. That both, I'm inferring that myself. I don't think that's actually true, but it would make sense. And then it eventually came out in 2014 and they cast Tom Hardy instead of Mel Gibson from the original ones.
Right. Cool. Cause he was having a rising star back then with the, he was Bane in Dark Knight Rises.
Yeah.
He was making a name for himself. It was in Inception too. Yeah. It was kind of Christopher Nolan's guy for a little bit. And then he's like, I can make a name for myself in this, action genre stuff.
Yeah. Being the stoic guy that doesn't really talk.
Yeah. He did good.
It works.
He did a good job. I like his delivery. Like, I can't explain it. Oh, he also had another movie called Locke, where like it was more of a character piece where he was just like, it was just driving in a car the whole time.
I think that's what got him this role. Like that would make a lot of sense if that's what got him the role.
Yeah. So, but like, I like his, like his delivery was just like she went under the wheels. She went under the wheels. Like it was just like, but it's like his voice doesn't really match his face, but it does at the same time. I don't understand it.
He is Venom. So
yeah. Yeah. I'm glad that he's got a kind of a sense of humor about himself.
I mean, he started writing that one in the second one. So like he's now
I think he's
a writer on the third one officially.
That's fucking wild, dude.
So
he likes the character.
He's Venom.
I wish he'd have a better accent, but
I wish he did do accents.
Yeah.
It's kind of like Tom Hanks and accents. Don't do it.
Yeah, something about like him. He always needs to be wearing some sort of thing that garbles his voice, and also has an accent that.
Yeah,
I just don't. Yeah, he's got like marble mouth. You know, you don't really understand what he's saying.
Yeah, me too. But like, okay.
Well, that's why this is a perfect movie for him. So, yeah. You know, like, so he doesn't have to say a lot.
Yes, yes.
And like, yeah, he doesn't. Well, so that's the cool thing about the Mad Max movies. He's not Max isn't the main character ever, really. Other than maybe the first one.
Okay.
I didn't know that either. And then I went back and I watched at least Road Warrior, that everyone considered the best one until Fury Road came out. And they're like, but it was definitely like the little kid's story, or he was the narrator. There's like this little feral kid. Okay. But it's more about like him helping other people achieve, like,
he was overthrowing a police officer. He was a police officer.
Yeah.
So, I mean,
he's just a tool. It's like for in this movie, Furiosa, I would say is the Furiosa, I would say is the main character. Yeah. She's the one with her story. Art. Max is just kind of like his whole thing is like, I want to leave. I'm surviving my own, but I care about people. I'm a good guy. Oh, motherfucker. So that's what everyone being mad about. A Mad Max movie without Max. I don't know. It's not too far removed. I'm sure
he'll show up for a second or two.
What, will he though? Because it's a prequel. I mean, when they meet in Fury Road.
I mean, when Tom Hardy signed on for these movies, he signed on for three of them. So I mean, I don't think he's gonna be in this one. That won't count. It'll probably be like a cameo, if anything. But
maybe they'll tease like.
How is George Miller gonna keep doing these? Like, what are we doing? He's like.
Well, it also makes me think. This movie is so jam-packed with ideas and so good that, like, I don't think George Miller knows what else is out there.
Well, again, yeah, he's got a lot of things right for the picking. There's lots of different ways it can go in the apocalypse, and I hope he kind of leans into, like, some of the modern stuff that has taken inspiration from him and implements that into future movies, because that'd be pretty cool to see him take inspiration from others who have taken inspiration from him.
Yeah, so he can kind of have a feedback loop there.
Yeah.
I think I'm just worried that like he doesn't really have any more ideas other than that the war boys and the different factions fighting and the fighting over resources and stuff. And
so it's kind of like Hunger Games too in a way, I guess.
Yeah. Like, is that the thing about the that one was a Ballad of Songbirds and Snakes?
I didn't see it yet, but yeah.
Really good.
Yeah.
But it's less about the injustice of this giant system and more about how one person can betray another person. Mm. So it kind of scales it down. So I'd like to see something like that in this new Furiosa movie, or if Mad Max can continue doing, or like, you know, more like just different types of stories. Like, or if you don't want to go like, you know, real small scale, you go bigger scale with like trying, like somebody's has this new technology to bring back, like, you know, who to unalive, or the, you know,
unalive
unalive the world, you know, because that's the whole thing. Who killed the world? Warlords, I guess.
Let's get into that, actually. So I found some lore on Mad Max, and the guy who wrote the second movie, Terry Hayes, he was asked to do lore, I guess, for the first two movies and beforehand. So, like, what actually caused this to happen? Well, he speculated that the 1979 oil crisis caused this, in the Iranian Revolution and all that stuff as well. So, like, that's what could have happened if that escalated to where this movie puts it. Mm-hmm.
That would make sense.
But yeah, it's kind of like worst case scenario. And yeah, so societal collapse afterwards. So. Right. Kind of works.
And then you have people hoarding resources.
Yeah.
Well, that's why the Morton Joe, he's got the water. The bullet farmer's got the bullets. There's some other guy. He's got access to the oil, or the guzzoline, that they call it.
Yeah, yes. The guzzoline.
So we don't know how far into the future that this movie takes place.
This one, Fury Road, you're talking about?
Yeah.
Well,
like, what is there a year that's like speculated that it's in?
So it started in 1980, I believe, is when the first one started. And then it was, you know, a few years for the first two. And then Thunderdome, that was 15 years later.
So Thunderdome was 95?
Yes.
In-universe?
Yes.
So then that makes roughly. Fury Road what? Like,
I don't know.
Another 10 years?
But like, Tom Hardy's like a 30-year-old dude, and Mel Gibson would have been how old at that point?
Yeah, he would have been like...
Yeah, so like, it's I think it's a few... Maybe they're like retroactively like canceling Thunderdome, and it's in between Thunderdome and...
Yeah, it could be.
I don't know. Like, because Toe Cutter was originally Immortan Joe's name, correct? In the first or second one?
I think it's just the same actor. I think okay. They're two different characters, though. So two different Toe Cutter is the villain in the first one.
Yes.
Okay, yeah, he definitely dies in the first one.
Okay.
And then Immortan Joe is just this other guy.
Oh, so yeah, maybe this takes place between. I think that would make sense. I just don't know how it leads to the Furiosa thing. Maybe they'll tie Furiosa to something else, and that'll kind of give us a little more information as to where this takes place.
Maybe. I'm pretty sure, yeah, Furiosa is just that's a prequel to Fury Road.
To Fury Road, yes. So maybe it takes place around the time of the second movie, maybe? Maybe we'll find out.
I think she said in Fury Road it had been like either 9 years or 19 years.
It was probably 19. But
so then,
so it'll be before the first one.
Yeah.
So maybe we'll...
And I want to know who Chris Hemsworth is in this new movie.
I don't know how much sense that would make, though, just because...
Well, she was, what, 30-something? Like, late 30s?
Yes, yeah, so 19. Well, and then she's a kid, though, in the actual thing. So maybe she's playing a 30-year-old, and then 19 years before, like, she's a kid, an 8, 9-year-old kid, which would make sense, because they are going to do that in this movie.
Yeah, this new movie is going to be about her turning into the Imperator.
Yes, so I think... Yeah, it's probably going to be like most of the movie with Anya Taylor-Joy is going to be like 10 years, I think, before. So 10 years before Fury Road, which would put it like between 1 and 2, maybe. Yeah. That would make more sense, I think. But who knows? That's all speculation.
Anyway, this movie, basically just a giant car chase.
Yeah.
Big, long car chase. And, you know, so... You know, Paul's main criticism about Last Jedi is it's just a chase. Like, this is how you do that, right?
Practically.
Practically. And, yeah, so I really like just all the set design in...
Cinematography.
Yeah, it was just amazing. The sandstorm.
Guitar buddy.
Oh, the Doof Warrior. Fucking awesome. Yeah. So stupid, but so good.
So cool.
Yeah, basically, so like this, the movie starts with you just meet Max, and he's all like, "I'm a traveler. I survive myself. I just survive."
Yeah,
he gets caught by all the war boys, and I thought it was really interesting that like these guys, these war boys, and this whole society is like so damaged from this radiation from like the fallout or whatever. Mm-hmm. That they have literal tumors growing up, like, you know, like his tumors.
Yeah.
I forgot their names, but they're like so sick, and like, so they literally need to kidnap people and use them as blood bags. I just thought it was such an interesting idea.
It's very interesting. And I'm just like, oh.
I want to know how they narrowed down like who is like his blood type. Yeah, how do they figure that out?
I think blood is blood. I don't think they're actually trying to calculate.
Oh, they're not.
Blood. I don't think they're trying to calculate blood.
They tattoo universal donor on his back.
Oh, they do.
Yeah, you know, he has this whole back tattoo of all his details and stuff. Like where they found him. You know, any injuries and stuff.
Yeah,
it's like an accident report on the guy.
Hmm.
And so he's just like chilling. He's like, well, I guess I gotta deal with this.
Huh.
And then so separately from Max, you get like Furiosa's. You find out in the middle, just in the middle of the movie, you get no explanation. She's just all of a sudden changing course from trying to get, I think they're going to Gas Town to get some guzzoline.
Yeah.
And I don't know what's, see, I thought the guzzoline was already in the tanker and they were, I don't know. But
maybe
she's figuring out, she's trying to smuggle all the Immortan Joe's wives out of there because, you know. Sex slavery, not really cool.
Not
cool, guys.
Not cool. Yeah.
And then, I just like that. And then, like, the whole fucking movie just fucking starts. And Max, you know, this is the point I was making with the Max is just along for the ride for most of it. And then he can just kind of help out later. Like, Furiosa's driving the fucking, for lack of a better term, the truck on this.
Yeah.
And she's getting to the goal and rescuing all these wives. And it's really interesting seeing like how the wives, they kind of, some of them have character arcs, and the other ones are like, They're like, I like my life the way it is. And, you know, like, it's fine, guys. We can settle.
Yeah. And then,
we won't die.
Yeah, that whole first, like, you know, confrontation with Furiosa and Max and everything with the guzzling, I guess. The water. The whole water scene or whatever. Where they're...
Yeah, so I think... Well, Merger, this guy's a bad dude because he's just dropping the water. Yeah. And, like, you guys can't have it. Fuck you guys. Yeah, yeah.
Well, no, I was talking about like when they're in the desert and they have the water hose and everything.
Oh yeah,
that whole scene. That's how.
Okay, so it is. Yeah, that would make sense.
Yeah, I think that was water.
Maybe they're trading water for gasoline and they're just taking the tanker back. They're doing like a Breaking Bad freight heist thing.
Yeah, that makes sense. Okay, so yeah, and then just it was just hilarious, that whole scene. It was well done, well choreographed.
Max is hooked up to Nux's car, and. Nux is also a really cool character, but basically they get caught up in the storm, they get launched in the air, and you know, they crash, right. And everybody kind of dissipates, and then Max finds a gun, or like a shotgun, then he's about to shoot Nux's arm off. And this is, I love that, like, the bit where, like, so in all that fighting, Max's shoe falls off, you know, and it's so cool. It's a whole other story. Like little tiny mini fight. Story there. His shoe falls off, and after he's about to, like, you know, shoot Nux's arm off, and the gun jams or it doesn't work or whatever. He's like, well, fuck it, I'm gonna take his shoe anyway. So he's like, he's got his shoe on, and he drags Nux to the tanker, where he confronts all the girls. So like, he's just so desperate. He's got this gun that he knows that doesn't work. Yeah, he's just bluffing. It's really cool seeing like little bits of like visual like teamwork. So like Nux is so funny because he's just naive. Yeah, he's just a little naive war boy. Yep. He doesn't know any better. So he doesn't really hate this blood bag guy. He's just like, okay, we're working together. So like as they're all fighting Imperator or Furious, and then you know, she gets the gun. And then he like drops the mag. I love the bit where like Nux is like, here's the mag. He helps him out, and he's just like, thanks. And then he like shoots like three bullets right next to her head.
Yeah. And that's so cool. She's like, okay.
He's like, okay, we'll cooperate.
Okay. Yeah. But this also kind of like, with all this racing we have going on in the desert, it's like Fast and Furious meets what Fallout should be. I guess that's kind of what. Because again, this movie's a whole big car chase and everything. Make Fast and Furious like this. This is how you make Fast and Furious.
I'd love to see, like, you know, we were family, and then
okay, just cut Vin Diesel from the whole franchise, please.
He's all that's left.
Let him go.
What else do they let have? What, Michelle Rodriguez being all like?
Yeah, she can't really hold her own role, I don't think.
Gal Gadot's back, I guess, but she kind of sucks too.
That'd be a cool spinoff, but whatever.
Oh, Jason Momoa is there, so we're all good. You know, that franchise is so fucking wild. They started off stealing DVD players, and now they're international spies.
Goddamn right. That's how it works.
Makes sense. But it's just funny thinking like David Ayer wanted to make it, because he wrote the first movie.
Yes.
He wanted to make it like really locked down to like Southern LA, like culture and like gang culture kind of, because he grew up in that.
Yeah.
So just to see where they took it. He's like, I have
nothing
to do with this.
How did we get here? It's like after Tokyo Drift, they started getting more heisty and weird.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. After Fast Five was a game changer.
Fast Five was great.
Yeah. It's the only really good one.
Well, Seven was good for different reasons. Yeah, but then the rest of them are just.
I was just interested in that movie to see what they would do. And they pull it off, you know, for the most part.
They do. Anyway, bringing it back to Mad Max here. So we get. Past that part, Morton Joe is following them. He's just like, he's just there. He's being an asshole. I don't know. There's no real, he's not really much of a character in this movie. He's just kind of following them the whole time.
Yeah, he just wants his bride.
He wants his brides.
Most importantly, though, the one bride with the blonde hair.
Yeah.
He just wants her because she's the one who's pregnant.
She's the pregnant one.
He's desperate to get a viable son, I guess.
Secure the bloodline.
Yeah, because, you know, we got nothing else. You got all these resources, so what else would you do? But because everybody is riddled with cancers and, you know, all this radiation and stuff, you just literally can't, like Rictus is like the closest thing, but he's just fucking stupid. He doesn't understand.
Yeah.
So like he just wants like a good, viable son that he can carry on his thing. So on some level, I can understand it.
Yeah.
So you're still a dick though.
Yeah? You're kind of a dick. yeah. Then where are we? She dies.
Yeah.
So that girl ends up dying.
It's interesting because so when they're first meeting each other, Max shoots her like right in between her leg, you know, and then she starts bleeding from a little cut. And then after that, they kind of bond and everything. It's like, oh, we're in this together. We're going to try to escape. We're going to get to the green place. And then she actually dies because of Max, because she slips on her own blood that he caused.
Yeah.
And then
she's out of the truck.
Yeah, and then gets run over. Well, she doesn't get run over, but like...
Well, she does. He says she went under the wheel.
Yeah, but she's still alive towards the end. So it's just kind of insult to injury.
Yeah.
Like, so all the brides are like, they're like, we need to go back. And like, it's very, very reasonable to not go back.
Yeah, yeah.
Because like, you're gonna die. But it's funny because like, Immortan Joe has to kind of suffer that twice. Because, you know, then he's like, oh, you could have had a baby. You know, it could have been good if you just, you know, she survived like another month or whatever. She had the baby and whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
So then she dies on the operating table. And then what's his name? Angus Sampson, I want to say is his name. He's the doctor in this, but he's also one of the techies in Insidious.
Yeah, I don't know his name.
The guy that's like Lee Winnell's partner in that.
Yeah, I know the guy you're talking about. I didn't know he was in this. I didn't even think about that.
Yeah, he's the doctor.
Oh.
Yeah, he's got a little mohawk and everything.
It's weird. That just sounds weird. Anyway, so then they get stuck in the mud the very next scene. They're stuck in the mud and they're trying to like, you know, they're way ahead of them at this point because like they had to stop and like figure out what the hell was going on with the pregnant girl. And
just grieving.
So yeah, then this whole dark nighttime fight happens and it's so cool. Like the practical effects, it looks so good. It looks like it's actually filmed at night. It's not like day for night.
Yeah.
And like imagine that it looks good.
I like the whole use of color grading, I guess.
Yeah.
So everything's blue.
Yes.
You know, to convey that, oh, it's nighttime. You know,
but it looks like they actually did shoot it at night. So
yeah. But then also the best part is that like there's little bits of like flame or whatever. Like there's like they're using a flame at one point.
Oh, yeah.
And then all the light, the blue goes away in that little section.
Yeah,
so there's no, but it's so like vivid. So there's only, they only could have like color graded or like did some sort of effect there.
There's the cinematography again. Love just it. All that stuff. So it looks so good. Yeah. Why can't more movies do this, man? Why can't more movies do this?
But I also like the message of it where it's like our sons won't be warlords. They're trying to break the cycle of this horrible abuse and stuff. And but I also like that, like, this is like the way to do, I guess, social commentary. If you want to tell a story about, you know, oppression and have women characters, don't be so heavy handed with it, with what they're doing. Do what they did here, where you have this society of women, this old women, and they're like, they're warriors too. So it's not like that's the problem. It's just they have a reason for being that way because the world is hard, and you know, and they're still using feminine qualities.
Yeah,
like the one lady, she's just trying to grow a plant.
Yeah,
and she's just trying to
make them humanize them. Like it makes it so much better. You don't have to make them like, you know, these fearless women who have no flaws, as you always say.
Yeah.
They got flaws.
Like Furiosa. Like she's the closest thing to a warrior Galadriel that we're dealing with now. But she's still a human character. Mm-hmm. You can see her just desperation to get back to the green place. And when she realizes it's not there anymore, she's fucking done, dude. She's just like, ugh, what the fuck do I do now?
Yeah.
You know? And then she gets the resolve to go back into the to the Citadel, you know, with Max's help. Again, he's a tool.
Yep.
Yep. But yeah, I just love, she's just such a good like main character.
Yeah.
And that she's still like a guardian for these women, and like it's like the messaging about like fertility and like, you know, life and stuff. It's such a feminine kind of area of film that you don't really get to see a lot in that way.
Especially, you know, this way. Yeah.
Yeah. But it's still a badass action movie. So it's like Hollywood's looking for this exact sort of thing. where like you have real life women characters. I don't want to go on a rant anymore.
Oh, I know.
But you know what I mean? It's just like, yeah, this is how you do it.
Yeah.
Just do exactly that again.
Yeah. So back at the Green Place. So it doesn't exist anymore. But then there's all these, you know, women warriors that are still there, like trying to fight the good fight and everything. But
yeah, that one girl up there where she's all naked and she's being bait. Like, that's got to suck for her.
It's just like, bro, you're going to get fucking skin cancer.
Just add it to the list, right? You know, so much radiation.
The
list
of cancers you probably already have. Yeah, right. Yeah. And then, just where Furiosa, as you said, realizes it's not here anymore.
Yeah.
She's like, burn it all down.
Yeah, she's just
back to the Citadel.
She's fucking done.
Yep,
you know?
Burn it down.
And, well, she's gonna go. She's like, we're just gonna fucking continue for 180 days and see what the fuck we got. And Max is like, listen, I've been around, guys. Yeah. There's nothing out there, guys, because it's fucking not Australia.
Yeah.
You know, it's just all deserts. And so they decide to go back. And also, the little cool thing, when they get stuck in the mud, Nux, because he's grown up in this world, he just doesn't understand what things are.
Yeah.
he's like, what's that thing? It's just a hollowed out tree. You know, Bill Brogan. He's like, and then Max is like, that's a fucking tree, dude.
What do you mean?
Yeah. Oh, also, this is around the part where I think Max gives him back his shoe.
Oh, yep.
Or he gets another shoe somehow and gives it back.
I think he probably gives it back to him.
It's just like, so like that little tiny story I love. Yeah. Like even they have the time to do that. Symbolism. With the little bond between them.
Yep.
Basically, the whole final act is just more
fighting.
Action, more fighting. The Polecats are fucking awesome.
Yep.
I love their whole like, they're like literally just, it's literally like Cirque du Soleil, but action, you know?
Yeah.
They're just going back and forth. And then I think there's a little bit where Max has like this like night terror or like this vision or whatever, freaks him out, and he goes like this, you know?
I don't remember that.
Like this girl, like, he's like, why didn't you save us, Max? And she punches him and he like kind of blocks it by going like this.
Oh.
If he didn't have that, maybe it's like a subconscious, or maybe it's like some sort of ghost.
Because it's not from the first three movies?
Not that I remember.
Okay.
She might have been in the Thunderdome. I don't know. But if he didn't learn that move, he would have been fucking skewered in the face with an arrow.
Mm-hmm.
And then obviously, you know, his hand is stuck to his face, but he's got to like just pull it out.
Yeah. Well, Furious. Doesn't she die at the end?
She gets mortally stabbed, but at the end she's going up on the elevator. I think she's okay though.
Yeah,
she gets stabbed with like her like little like gear shift knife.
That's right.
Forgot by who though.
I don't remember either.
I don't know. But also, badass when she's like fucking kills a Morton Joe.
Oh yeah,
she's like,
yeah,
look at me.
Yeah,
and it rips his face off.
Good shit.
Awesome.
Good shit.
Yeah. But I also, it's really interesting seeing like all the little tiny cultural like tidbits that they're able to squeeze in here in a kind of naturalistic way.
Mm-hmm.
With the war boys being obsessed with suicide. It's like, you know, we're going to Valhalla. We're like honored.
Yeah, they're kamikazes. Yeah.
Yeah. So when they realize there's no more point in fighting, that this is their time, they're going to sacrifice themselves for their brothers.
Yeah.
I thought it's such a realistic thing, you know, because it was kamikazes were a thing.
Mm-hmm.
And seeing like them rally behind each other, and then seeing how much of a fuck up Nux is, because he tries to kill himself three times in this.
Uh-huh.
And he fails every time.
Yep.
Like the first time is, you know, understandable. It's just by pure luck that he isn't killed. He's like driving into the thing or into the storm. And he's like, you know, he chromes himself up. Like that's like the sign that, mm-hmm, like, oh, it's happening, guys. Mm-hmm. You know, you're going to arrive shiny and chrome.
Yeah.
And,
Nux didn't die, right?
No. So, no, he did die. Yeah. He dies in the pile up at the end. He sacrifices himself.
Right.
So sucks for the little redhead girl.
Damn. I was going to say, I was like, oh man, well, Nicholas Holt's already bald now anyway, cause he's Lex Luthor. Maybe they bring him back or something, but no,
he might show up for a cameo, right?
Well, this happened 10 years before. I doubt he'll be like old enough, cause he's kind of like a late teenager, I think, probably early 20s, maybe. So I don't think it would really work that well.
Yeah. Well, I think.
He's, I was going to say, maybe the next Mad Max movie he could actually be in again. But
no, he's
dead.
He's for sure dead.
Unless they requel it again. No, they won't do that.
This definitely seems like that franchise that to do it. Like,
but this definitely
It seems like a James Bond type thing. We're like, hey, we can do whatever we want. Like, that's fine.
I guess that's a fair point. I mean, I hope they continue with Tom Hardy because, like, again,
yeah, he was great.
The thing, he has two more movies left. So,
yeah, and that is if he's not too old.
He's like mid late 40s now, I think. So yeah, he'll be fine.
I'm just saying, like, this one took 30 years to make. So
yeah, it's kind of unfortunate. So, and this is only 10 years for Furiosa. So who knows? Yeah. I mean, maybe in the next
wild,
maybe it'll be like a few years from now they'll get this will like, you know, kickstart again. Hopefully it continues on because this movie is great. I gotta watch the original three. I haven't seen any of them, but
you're not gonna like them. I can tell you that well, much.
You like Road Warrior, so maybe I like Road Warrior. But
it's like this Fury Road is like Road Warrior done like a million times better.
Okay,
it's like I think people just love Road Warrior in the first place just because it was. It was like it had like the concepts there, and it was just cheesy 80s action.
All right, so if you're looking to get into this, start with Fury Road is what you're saying, probably.
Yeah. I'd say just start and stop
like,
with that
right like, now. Like, don't worry about trying to, like, catch up on everything. Just...
Well, yeah, because Fury Road kind of wipes it all off, you know? Like, I mean, it's interesting seeing Matt, like, the first one.
Yeah.
Because you get to see roughly what the world was like a little bit before it got really bad in like the really like the wasteland, because you get to see like he's literally like he's driving a cop car, he's got a family, he's just kind of trying to navigate across the country or whatever, and then he just runs into this gang of, you know, thugs or whatever. Gotcha. It's not like he's fighting warlords yet, but you know, it's just interesting seeing like the scale of, you know, how he scales up to that. Okay. And like, Road Warrior is cool. It's a cool little twist at the end too. Because you think that he's narrating it, but it's somebody else.
Oh. So it's got all the elements. It's just not, they didn't have maybe the, I don't know, the wherewithal to make that happen, to make what it could be happen at the time.
Yeah, well, I think they didn't even really have a script for this movie. It was just storyboards for the longest time.
Oh, yeah, I guess. But that's weird. For Road Warrior?
Oh, no, for Fury Road.
Oh.
Road Warrior, I don't really know what the production process was for that.
Yeah, okay. So this one you're talking, okay.
Yeah, Fury Road, they had 30 years for these really detailed storyboards. I think that's something like 1,000 storyboards or some shit like that.
Wow.
Basically, the whole movie mapped out. And I remember them saying something with, like with how they were filming it to make, because everything's happening pretty much all at once. It's all crazy and stuff. To help the viewer like watch what's coming next, they just align everything in the middle of the frame. So you don't have to move your eyes. You can just absorb it.
I like that.
Yeah.
And it's an easy watch. It's an easy background. This is a very easy background movie.
Yeah. Yeah, like I've seen it like 7 times at this point.
Yeah, but still has all these subtle little details that if you actually pay attention, you'll catch them. Like,
definitely think subtitles helped me out though. I didn't understand pretty much what was happening.
We all need subtitles now.
Yeah. Like when I saw it in theaters, I was thinking like this is just an action movie. They're just chasing, like they're going all the way to the green place and then they're all going all the way back to the Citadel. But I didn't realize why they were leaving the Citadel in the first place. I didn't really understand who these other random guys were attacking them. In like this it's not like the Citadel's territory. It's like these scavenger guys in the ghillie suits on like motorcycles. Like they're all fighting them, and like I didn't really understand anything was happening. Sometimes help me.
Different factions, like Hunger Games.
Yeah. It's like you're in our district.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, okay.
That makes sense. Volunteer's tribute.
Oh boy. they could have got Jennifer Lawrence to play Young Furiosa.
That would have been cool.
Anya Taylor-Joy is great. Don't get me wrong.
She's
great.
Good too.
But Jennifer Lawrence, after that naked fight scene in No Hard Feelings.
We just watched that the other night. Yeah. It's fucking, I'm glad that we have her. Like she just, again, like somebody just doesn't have like have a sense of humor about themselves.
Yeah. We really didn't talk about that movie last year. It was a good movie.
It was so good.
Yeah. Cause you just saw it recently. I saw it when it came out.
Yeah. It holds up.
Yeah. It really does. Oh my God.
We don't get comedies like that anymore. No. It's like, I miss like the old Will Ferrell, like, you know, Step Brothers, just stupid comedies. Step like Brothers, that.
Anchorman, all that stuff. Yeah.
Simple little like story. Like, it's funny. Cause
even the first Grown Ups, that was great too.
Yeah. 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 And then they ruined it with Grown Ups too, but whatever. Yeah,
well, you know,
although China Ann McClain, she got a great singing voice. That's all I remember about that movie. Okay. And then I think is a basketball player's in that. Or no, Shaq's in it, right?
Yeah. I think so. Well, anyway, I think we're kind of wrapping up Fury Road here. There's a lot more to talk about than I initially thought we were going to end up talking about with this movie. So, I mean, I'm glad there's more to the story than just, oh, you know, big action chasing a Fast and Furious movie. So,
yeah. Well, yeah, this one, I think, takes that dumb, stupid action of, you know, cars and shit, and it actually kind of elevates it to more art, like an art kind of stuff.
It's an art.
It's art.
It's a high art form.
Yeah. I don't know. Because it's got something to say.
Yeah, yeah. For sure. For sure it does, man.
It does everything really well, technically.
It won a few Oscars, too, I'm pretty sure. Or it was nominated, at least.
It had to have won for effects.
Let's find out. Yeah, 6 Oscars.
Damn.
Won editing, costume design, makeup and hairstyling.
Yeah.
Sound mixing, sound editing, production design. It was nominated for Motion Picture of the Year, nominated for directing, nominated for cinematography, nominated for visual effects. Didn't even win any of those. That's crazy.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and what came out? Oh, I think Force Awakens came out the same year. So
this is 2015. So
2015 Oscars?
2016 Oscars.
Yeah, so Force Awakens came out 2015, same year as I can assume that would win.
It makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, anyway, if this this has the same exact crew, sorry, Furiosa has the same exact crew, pretty much the same exact crew as this.
That's so great. I like that.
If they pull it off again, we'll get more Oscar winners, I think. So,
yeah.
It's good to see an action movie getting that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Because you don't see it too often. You don't see comedies too often getting that stuff, unless it's American Fiction for writing this year. But, you know. It's
got to be like witty and have like a thing behind it, you know. It's got to have some sort of like, I don't want to say message, because you can make a funny like Step Brothers. I don't think really has a message, but it's still one of the best comedies ever.
Yeah. What do you give Mad Max Fury Road?
Yeah, this movie's almost perfect for me, because like I really can't think of anything bad other than maybe it's a little sluggish towards like when I left, because I only saw like half the movie.
Yeah.
But I'd seen it before. Get it? It's a tiny bit sluggish, but like that's really not a
lot. So the pacing's a little weird, but it's not like the worst thing.
It's like, you know, the pacing is so perfect, and then it's like, and then it like dips.
So it's a little dip. It's a little dip.
Little tiny dip. Yeah. I don't think it's anything to really notice.
Little dip in the mud.
Yeah. I'm going to give it like a 98.
Holy shit.
Yeah. I fucking love this movie. Oof. It's so good.
So I've seen this movie 3 times. This was my 3rd time seeing it. I did notice a lot more this time around. It had been probably 8 or 9 years since I'd seen it, and I really appreciate it a lot more than when I first watched it the first 2 times. All the little nuances I noticed, all the little things in the story. You know, that even you just mentioning that whole little side story with the shoe, that was great. Yeah. I was like, oh yeah, that did happen. So I'm going to give this movie a 93. It's a very good movie. I have very little problems with it.
Yeah.
If anything, maybe it's the pacing, or it's there's so many good directorial choices that George Miller made in this, and I can appreciate all of that.
Yeah, like I figured it would be like your kind of movie with pacing, because it hooks you immediately. It goes right
and
in.
I love it when movies hook me, and they're actually very well directed like this.
Yeah.
But I don't like Fast and Furious movies, and they have hooks right immediately every time, and I don't like Fast and Furious. So,
yeah, I think those ones are just kind of like cheesy.
Exactly. Well, this is good Fast and Furious. So, we're seeing before. You can find us on Instagram and TikTok with the handle @SceneBeforeCast. That's SCENE, it beforecast. And on Twitter with the handle SIB_pod. I'm Dan.
I'm Danny. You can find me at Instagram at Danny_Wass. My Letterboxd and serialized at DJ Wass, or my YouTube channel, which is just, Danny Wass. He's pointing at me. I'm Danny Wass.
Anyway. Yeah. So our next movie, we don't have too much going on in April this year, but I think we have something coming up soon. Let's find out. Oh yeah. The Ministry of Ungentlemanly Warfare.
Right.
That's going to be our next, because it's my birthday weekend. So
I'm excited for that one.
Yeah, that one's going to be a fun one. It's going to be another, hopefully has a good story to it.
Yeah.
But it's a Guy Ritchie movie.
I'm just glad that like Alan Ritchson, I've been a fan of him since Blue Mountain State,
baby.
I'm just so glad he's getting recognition, because Reacher's also really good.
And if he becomes Batman for the DCEU,
that would be fucking
awesome. That'd be so cool.
Yeah, like
what a career that.
Like he could be like the fucking jacked Batman that like we the like
jacked
Ben Affleck got Batman. Close, mm-hmm. got real close with it. Mm-hmm. But Alan Ritchson, he looks like a Hulk, dude. It's fucking wild.
Yeah. I think his mannerisms would just work perfectly for both Bruce and Batman. I mean, not Bruce. I don't know. Oh, he can play. He just play Thad. He'll play Thad as Bruce. He'll be a playboy.
He's got to not give like the stink face. You know, he's like he does like that weird like stink face a lot. You know, that's the only thing. Like that's one of the, Thad Castle's coming out.
Yeah. Put the Thad away. Yeah.
Well, and also in this Gentleman Warfare, we got Henry Cavill.
Yeah.
You know, finally breaking free from all like the dumb superhero movies and Superman. Like, I really wish we got like a great version of him as Superman, because I think he can pull it off and he has the look. But I'm glad to see him, that he's got his own thing going on now.
Yeah, I mean, we got him, we got Alan Ritchson, we got somebody else too. We got Cary Elwes in this movie too.
That would be cool.
Yeah, it's got a decent cast. It's gonna be fun, and I can't wait to see it. So until then, we'll see you next time.